السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى سيدي ومولاي الإمام أبي عبد الله الحسين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه، وعلى أهل بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل رب أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعل لي من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا، ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. My friends, مؤمنين worldwide, tonight is the eve of the first of Muharram. Tomorrow is the first day. Tomorrow, Thursday, August 20th, 2020, is the first day of Muharram 1442, the first day of the new Hijri year. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this new year, the Hijri year of 1442, a blessed year, a Mubarak year on you, your families, the mu'mineen community worldwide, on the Muslims, and on mankind, on all the people of earth, a blessed year, a year of recovery, a year of health, a year of strength and protection, inshallah, a year that we see the end of this pandemic and the end of the misery. The misery of the humanity, the human beings who are suffering worldwide in Islamic countries and non-Islamic countries. There are many people who are suffering because of poverty, because of economic disparity, because they lost their jobs, because they lost their health, because they lost their security, because they lost their dignity, because of dictatorship and tyranny. We ask Allah to make this year 1442 a year of peace, a year of happiness, a year of blessing, a year of unity and cooperation and respect among the Muslim Ummah, inshallah. We also, at the beginning of this year and the first night of Muharram, we extend our condolences, heartfelt condolences, to our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to our noble Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, to the noble daughter of the Prophet, the mistress of the ladies of the universe, Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, and to the entire family of the Prophet and his righteous companions. We extend our condolences to them for the tragic death of the martyrdom of our Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada, al-Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, and his family and his children and his brothers and his righteous companions on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, year 61 Hijri, in the land of Karbala, Iraq. The Prophet himself was bereft. The Prophet himself was shocked and saddened when Jibreel informed him that his son, his grandson Hussein, is going to be murdered by members of his own community who claim to be Muslims. And the Prophet wept for that. The Prophet wept for Imam Hussein half a century before his martyrdom. We know the Prophet died in the year 11th Hijri. Imam Hussein died exactly 50 years after the Prophet. Imam Hussein was 7 years old when the Prophet died. So on several occasions, during several periods of time, the Prophet wept for Imam Hussein. Historians count them one by one. Some of them privately at his room, in his house. Sometimes when he was with Salama. Sometimes when he was with Aisha. Sometimes the Prophet was inside his mosque. Sometimes the Prophet was in Medina. In different locations. Different locations. Sometimes he was with Fatima alayhi salam and Imam Ali. Sometimes he was with his companions. They saw him weeping on several occasions, not one or two, maybe 20. And they asked him, "Why you are upset? Why you are weeping? Why you are sad?" He said, "Because Jibreel informed me. Jibreel did inform me that my son Hussein," sometimes he points to him, he says, "this son Hussein, Waladi Hussein, سيقتل في أرض كربلا." He's going to be murdered in the land of Karbala. Let me just quote one hadith only, among hundreds of hadiths, from credible sources. In the Sunni tradition, one of them is Musnad al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Musnad al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is the most important source of hadith in the Sunni tradition. And this book, in the first volume, Musnad ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the page that I have is page 264 and 265. Imam Ali says, دخلت على النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I came to visit the Prophet one day. ذات يوم وعيناه تفيضان. While his eyes were filled with tears. Tears were rolling down. تفيضان. Overflowing of his eyes. قلت يا نبي الله أغضبك أحد. Did anyone upset you? ما شأن عينيك تفيضان. Why your eyes are overflowing with tears? قال, the Prophet said, بل قام من عندي جبرائيل قبل فحدثني أن الحسين يقتل بشط الفرات. Jibreel was here earlier, and he أخبرني, informed me, that Hussein is going to be murdered on the bank of the Euphrates, بشط الفرات. قال فقال هل لك إلى أن أشمك من تربته. The Prophet is saying to Imam Ali, "O Ali, do you want me to show you a sample of the dirt, the soil where Hussein is going to be murdered upon it, and you smell it?" And imagine, this is 50 years, half a century before the incident, 50 years. قلت نعم, I said yes. Indeed, O Messenger of God. فمد يده فقبض قبضة من تراب فأعطانيها فلم أملك. The Prophet stretched his hand, and he got a handful of that dirt and that soil of Karbala, and he gave it to me. فأعطانيها. فَلَمْ أَمْلُكْ, I could not control. فَلَمْ أَمْلُكْ عَيْنَيَّ أَنْفَاضَتَا, I could not control, Imam Ali says, I could not control my eyes from crying. So two people were crying for Imam Hussein. In this hadith, two people, the Prophet and Imam Ali, 50 years, my friends, 50 years, five decades before his martyrdom, while Hussein is still a cheerful boy playing, he is only 7 years old. The Prophet weeps for him 50 years before his martyrdom. This is in Musnad Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the most sacred book in the Salafi tradition. And there are scores and scores of hadiths in Bukhari, in Muslim, Tabarani, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and others who narrate the story how the Prophet was weeping for Imam Hussein, how the Prophet was sad for him, how the Prophet himself was mourning him before his death. He was mourning his grandson. Therefore, we the Muslims, the followers of the Prophet of Islam, who follow his sunnah and his tradition and his way of life and his ethics, we mourn Imam Hussein too. And we give our condolences to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this sad occasion. My friends, some people ask, why do you commemorate Muharram and Ashura? What is important about it? Why do you insist on reliving this incident every year and commemorating it and celebrating it and speaking about it and holding sessions worldwide? Sessions begin from tonight, August 19th, and it would last for 10 nights, and some of them would last for 2 months. 2 months in every single country, in every single continent, in every single culture, with every single language, by Muslims and non-Muslims, by Sunnis and Shias, they mourn the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. So why it is important to mourn him? Why it is important to commemorate him? Why it's important to remember him? Because Ashura is a season of revival, the revival of Islam. It is about the revival of Islam, giving a new birth to Islam, new spirit to Islam. It's a season of inspiration. It's a season of learning. It's a season of getting more attached to the Prophet and his family. It's a season of being more loyal to the Prophet and standing with the truth, standing with justice. Muharram is the season of standing against oppression, against injustice, against corruption, against hypocrisy. It is a season where we stand with every oppressed, whether it's in America, Black Lives Matter, or outside America. All those who have been oppressed, with all their colors and all their cultures and all their religions, we stand with them. And also, it is the month of awareness. It's a month where we discover the truth, the reality, because the truth has been hidden, because the propaganda of many political systems in the past and the present are trying to hide the fact. They don't speak about it. They don't want you to know about it. Why? Because they feel insecure, because it will create scandals for them, because they are embarrassed to tell you what happened, because it backfires on them. They don't want you to know what happened. They keep burying it. Not only burying it, they fabricate stories. That day of Ashura is a day of celebration, is a day where God saved this prophet and that prophet, and he performed this miracle and that miracle, which is not right. None of them is right. None of these miracles took place on the day of Ashura. These were made by Bani Umayyah after they committed the murder of Imam Hussein in Karbala. They committed whitewashing. They did not want people to know what happened. They confused people. They fabricated hadiths that are baseless by some people who are weak-spirited. They don't have faith in God. They have faith in money. They worked for these governments, which is mostly the Bani Umayyah and after that Bani al-Abbas, and they fabricated their stories that Ashura is a day of happiness, it's a day of Eid, whereas the fact is something else. Ashura is a day of sadness, it's a day of a tragedy. But yet, out of this tragedy, we're going to create victory. We're going to learn to change ourselves. We're going to learn to strengthen Islam, to support Islam, to defend Islam, to stand with the truth, not to succumb to the liars, to the hypocrites, to the bad people, to bad politicians who are usurping people's freedom and people's dignity. It's a source of inspiration for us. Ashura is a source of strength and power and unity. Yes, unity. Unity among the Muslims. True Muslims get together around Muharram and Ashura, around Imam Hussein, the family of the Prophet. They put hand in hand. They are not divided. Ashura does not divide. Ashura unites people. People who know the truth and people who want to know the truth. They are united. They are hand in hand. They are shoulder standing shoulder to shoulder. It does not divide. It's not a negative occasion. It's a positive occasion. Now, if some people don't like to know about the truth, it's okay. This is their choice. But most people love to know the truth. Most people love to know what happened 50 years after the Prophet and why Imam Hussein was murdered. If we read the history of Islam, we find that the Prophet himself in Mecca, when he was reciting the Quran, some people refused to get close to him. They refused to listen to the Quran. In fact, when a young man tried to approach Prophet Muhammad when he was sitting near the Kaaba, the house of God in Mecca, Quraysh said to him, no. He said, why? Let me go and just see what this guy says. They said, no, because once you listen to him, he's going to brainwash you. لَقَدْ سَحَرَكَ مُحَمَّدٍ. He has a black magic. He uses a black magic, and then he brainwashes your mind, and you become one of his followers. Because they were secure, because insecure, because they knew that Muhammad speaks the truth. This is why they did not want to listen to the voice of truth and voice of justice and voice of peace and the voice of reality and the voice of guidance. We have to allow ourselves to listen to see what happened. Yes, no cursing, no bad mouthing, only stating the facts which are mentioned in the books. In these books, we state the facts. Also, Muharram is the month of transformation and reforms. Imam Hussein himself says, "Innama kharajt, I only have risen up against Yazid and Bani Umayyah's establishment, this corrupt institution. I have risen against them on the grounds of Islah. Kharajtu li talab al-Islah, to change my society." First of all, we have to change ourselves. If we don't change ourselves, we cannot change our families. If we cannot change our families, we would not be able to change our communities. If we don't change our communities, we would not be able to change our societies and our countries. So the journey begins from me. This is a season from tonight, the first night of Muharram, a season of change for me, a season of moral and ethical and social transformation, a season of political change, a season of a spiritual change, radical changes in our societies. Corruption runs deep in many societies today, left and right, left and right. Show me what country today we can live in where there is no oppression, no injustice, no corruption. It is relative. In some countries, corruption is 100%. In some countries, 50%. But still, this is corruption. So it runs deep in almost every society. Imam Hussein is about islah, is about changing these corrupt conditions, awakening people, bringing awareness that things have to change. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. This is the statement of this book, the Holy Quran. God would not change our conditions, our status, unless we change our own selves. Unless we reform our own selves and our own families and societies. So this is the month of change and reforms. This is the month of giving. This is the month of supply. This is the month of donation. This is the month of engagement. This is the month of participation. This is the month of sacrifice. This is the month of generosity. We have to give. Some people are going to give their blood during this month. Donate their blood to the Red Cross here in America. In our neighborhood, Orange County and LA County and Southern California, many Islamic centers are donating blood of their congregation and other congregations for the sake of saving lives. Because Imam Hussein is about saving lives. Imam Hussein stood up against an establishment that was murdering people. An establishment that made the blood and lives of people cheap. They were murdering them. Murdering them everywhere. In Mecca, in Medina. When you read the history, and in upcoming nights, I'm going to share with you the facts of what Bani Umayyah did and what were their achievements. So Imam Hussein stood to defend people's blood and people's life and people's dignity. So this is the month of tadhiyat, sacrifices. This is the month of sharing. Let's share what we have. Some people are sharing their blood. Good for them. And we must do so. If you are able, if you are healthy. Some people are sharing their food. Some people are sharing their money. Some people are sharing their time. Some people are sharing their energy. Some people are sharing their knowledge. We have to share. We have to build. Muharram is the month of building. Bani Umayyah were destroying. Imam Hussein was building. And we learn from him to build, not to destroy, not to corrupt. Also, this is the month of forgiveness and mercy and understanding. With our relatives, with our neighbors, with our friends, for the sake of Allah and sake of Imam Hussein, let's forgive each other. Let's replace suspicion, hate, jealousy, whatever it is, grudge, with love, with care, with mercy, with compassion. This is the month. Imam Hussein gave his life for the sake of the happiness of God and the humanity. We have to make humanity happy. We have to bring some relief for those who are distressed. And there are many of them in the midst of our community. Search for them. Ask about them. Take a step. Get out of your way to go and find those who are in need. Protect them. Lend them some hand. It is not going to be wasted. It would not go away. Any step you take in saving people's dignity and lives, you will be rewarded. You are making an investment for your dunya, for this life, and for your hereafter. So this is the time, Muharram is the time. Beginning tomorrow, August 20th, is the first of Muharram 1442. Let's do that. Let's learn from this pandemic to live together, to help each other, not to abandon, not to neglect anyone, not to forget anyone, not to leave anyone out, because we are all together into this. We are one family, and I believe in that, and I've been saying that for 30 years. We are one family, despite our madahib, schools of thought, religions, colors, languages, accents. We remain one family. One family that has many branches, numerous branches. Also, this month is the month of Muasat and solidarity with the Prophet Muhammad, the grandson of Imam Hussein. Some people say, why you emphasize only Imam Hussein, but you say nothing about the death of the Prophet? My friends, we do. On the 28th of Safar, we commemorate the departure of the Prophet, the wafat of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do. But maybe not with the same magnitude of Ashura. You know why? Because Prophet Muhammad, despite some stories who say that he was poisoned, it could be true that he was poisoned, but he died on his deathbed. He died while Imam Ali was carrying him, holding him. Fatima al-Zahra was there. Hassan and Hussein, his wives were there next door. His companions were there. But how did Imam Hussein die? In a very, very tragic, extremely tragic way that shook the foundations of this universe. Imam Hussein was murdered. Before him, his entire family, his children. Imam Hussein had a son at the age of 27 or 28, Aliyun al-Akbar. His grandson, his oldest son, was murdered right before the eyes of his father Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein had the last son who was only 6 months old, baby Abdullah, who was murdered. Most of his children and brothers and companions died of thirst, because from day 8th Muharram until day 10th, which is the day of Ashura, 48 hours, the water supply was cut off from the camp of Imam Hussein. So all of them were thirsty. And the weather was not helping, because it was October, the month of October. And those of you who go to Iraq, October is a hot season. So they were thirsty. They died thirsty. His brother Abbas, despite being able to reach the bank of the Euphrates, one of the rivulets by the name of Alqami, that branches out of the main river Euphrates, the Furat, and passes through Karbala by the name of Alqami, he went inside that rivulet, that stream, and he took a handful of water, but he did not drink. And he died thirsty. This is heroism. You don't see this in the history of mankind, except in Karbala. This is why we weep for Hussein. This is why the death of Hussein is very tragic. He was beheaded, and then his family was paraded in many cities and many countries. And you know, the family of Hussein are the family of the Prophet. Zainab is the grandson of Rasulullah. She's not stranger. Though Bani Umayyah tried to say to people, those are non-Arabs, those are non-Muslims, but people soon discovered that this is the family of the Prophet, because when they spoke to them, they found them to memorize the Quran. Someone said to them in Kufa, how do you know the Quran? You are not a Muslim. He says that to Imam Zain al-Abidin. A man meets Imam Zain al-Abidin in Kufa, in the market of Kufa, and he says to him, you are not a Muslim. How come you memorize the Quran? Imam Zain al-Abidin says, I am the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. I am Ali ibn al-Husayn. Husayn is the daughter, the son of Fatima. Fatima is the daughter of the Prophet. So the people soon discover the reality, the truth. And they were standing with the family of the Prophet. So this is the tragedy of Hussein. No tragedy in this universe is equal to the tragedy of Ashura. This is why we take care of it. Because some people wanted to bury it. Some people don't want you to speak about it. Even Muslims in America, in Europe, elsewhere, they don't speak about it. They don't want you to speak about it. Because they feel insecure. Because they don't want anyone to point at them and tell them you are guilty. They try to get away with it. But God says in this book, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They try to extinguish the light of God, which is the truth, with their mouths. But God is persistent and adamant to make His light, which is the truth and justice, prevailing. And it is a prevailing. People are getting to know what happened. They know about the truth now. They cannot hide it anymore. So we stand with the Prophet and Fatima al-Zahra. And let me say one more thing before I leave you tonight. We are not stuck in the past, in the history, as some people may claim or say. We are learning from the past and the history and moving on to the future. We are building our future. But in order for us to build a safe future, we have to know about the past. Yes, we don't get stuck there. We pass by it. We learn lessons because so many mistakes were done in the past by some people who called themselves Muslim leaders and caliphs and successors to the Prophet. So we have to read the history in order for us to build a safe future for our children. We don't want our children to be misled. We don't want our children to follow the wrong Islam. We don't want our children to follow wrong leadership. We want them to know what happened. We don't want our children to be naive to say that Yazid and Hussein both are forgiven by God, both are in paradise. As some people said, Al-Hussein wa qatiluhu fil Jannah. Hussein and the one who murdered him, both are in paradise. No, because this book says, La yastawi ashabun nari wa ashabul Jannah. The people of hellfire are not equal with the people of paradise. And Hussein, according to his grandson, Prophet Muhammad, and according to Musnadul Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and according to Imam Bukhari, and Imam Muslim, and Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i, and Abu Dawood al-Sajistani, and many others, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. Hasan and Hussein are the masters of peace, of the people of paradise. So people of hellfire, which is Yazid and his cronies, are not equal with Imam Hussein. They should stop fooling people. They should stop fooling people. And they should allow the new generation to know the facts and the reality of what happened. And if we don't learn from the past, we will keep committing the same mistakes again and again and again and again. And there will be no victory for Muslims, no progress for Muslims, and no dignity for Muslims. We learn from Hussein, we don't shake hands with tyrants. If some countries nowadays, they want to shake hand, this is their decision. But they are bound to fail. Bound to fail. Those who put their hands in the hands of tyrants and occupiers and oppressors and liars, they're going to fail. They're going to fail. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. For falsehood is bound to fail. Even if so many people are cheering up, they have many cheerleaders cheering them, but these cheerings are going to collapse. And falsehood is going to collapse one day. And we saw this in many books. We saw this in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Holy Quran, in every book, that injustice and oppression does not last. Does not last. It will collapse. And we saw this in the revolution of Imam Hussein. He was outnumbered by Yazid. Imam Hussein had only 80 or 90 or maximum 100 followers and companions. Yazid, on the other hand, had minimum 30,000. So Imam Hussein was outnumbered. But tonight, the eve of Muharram 1442, who is the winner, Yazid or Hussein? Hussein, no, Yazid, nobody mentions him. Nobody knows about his grave. All what is left of Yazid are stories of disgrace and corruption and barbarism. And what is left of Imam Hussein is heroism and guidance and reforms and love and compassion and salvation. We're going to begin with you from tomorrow, Thursday, August 20th, 2020, Muharram 1st, 1442. Every night, Pacific time, California's time, Los Angeles's time, 8:15, inshallah, because the prayer's time is 7:45, so we have 30 minutes for Salatul Maghribain, and then by 8:15, inshallah, we begin the English session on Ashura and Imam Hussein, and every night we have a theme, an interesting theme. Some of them are social, some of them are moral, some of them are spiritual, some of them are historical, but relevant to our day. We benefit from them. They are not just history. They are relevant and necessary for us to know. And then by 9, inshallah, we're going to have the Arabic lecture, also by me, inshallah. And at 9:05, we're going to have the Farsi lecture, inshallah. So we have three languages. English begins at 8:15. Arabic begins at 9 p.m. and Farsi begins at 9:05, inshallah, from tomorrow at IECOC YouTube channel. So please tune in during these 10 nights. Let's commemorate together. This year, it's a special, special commemoration. We cannot get together physically, but we get together mentally and spiritually. Our hearts get together around Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein is going to unify us. We revolve around him and we all say, Ya Hussein, Labbaik Ya Hussein, inshallah. We will see you tomorrow, inshallah. And ask your family members to sit in one room and commemorate together, the father, the mother, the kids, if they have sisters, siblings, brothers, sisters, sometimes cousins, in your homes. وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً. Make your homes a mosque, a Husayniya, a place of remembrance, a place of worship, a place of education. So get together in front of the big screen on your television and log in and follow the lectures. And there are lectures in many languages. Many languages. Commemorating Imam Hussein, the legacy of Imam Hussein, the spirit of Imam Hussein, and the message of Imam Hussein. Let's commemorate Muharram this year in our homes. Because every year we are at the Islamic Center, this year our rooms and our homes are Husayniyas and mosques to remember God, the Messenger of God, and the family of the Messenger, specifically Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is how we get inspired and energized, inshallah. We defeat falsehood, we defeat evil, and we will defeat this pandemic, inshallah, when we are together, inshallah. We stay together and united, inshallah ta'ala. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I ask you to join me in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha for a lady, young lady who passed away in our community. Her name is Sister Mina Ahmadi, and she's going to be buried tomorrow at Westminster Cemetery in Orange County, inshallah. Al-Fatiha ma'a salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.